It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Build 4 Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Not until 7:30 this morning. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, we've got some soccer on CBS Sports Network for a couple of hours or an hour and a half, and then they will join us at 7:30. You can always listen on 101.9 FM, 660 AM, and of course the free Odyssey app. And this is a time in sports where things are quiet for the most part, but the Jets decided to pipe in and say, hey, quiet off season, my ass. We're going to show you something, and we're going to give you something during this week where nothing is going on and take some headlines away. And I remember talking to Boomer about not Garrett Wilson, but Sauce Gardner talking about wanting a new contract this year. And Garrett Wilson in the same boat as Sauce Gardner, but I hadn't heard him say anything publicly about it. And we said, well, you know, the Jets don't have to do it, you know, and if they end up doing it, these guys are going to have to take less money than they would if they just waited another year and had another successful season. But here we go. It's actually unprecedented what the Jets did with Garrett Wilson. It is the first player to get an average $30 million per year after only being in a league for three seasons. So quiet offseason no more for Darren Mooji, Aaron Glenn, Garrett Wilson, and the New York Jets. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. Yeah, unprecedented for sure. And when I heard about this yesterday, I was thinking, wow, you know, the Jets are resetting the market for a lot of other players around the league, much like Deshaun Watson did. And I'm wondering if there's, you know, owners and GMs out there sending emails to each other, colluding with each other, wondering whether or not the Jets did what they did here was smart. Now, for their own team, internally, it is smart. You want to keep your best players, and certainly this validates, you know, the fact that they were picked. And they were picked by Joe Douglas, and they are being paid to be top-end players, which they have been. And when you think about Garrett Wilson, you know, he's played with eight different quarterbacks. It's been really, really frustrating for him, I'm sure. And part of that frustration is that they can't seem to get it right. So they bring in a former teammate of his, of Justin Fields. Nobody knows Justin better than, you know, Garrett Wilson does. And I'm sure that, you know, this type of contract basically says to Garrett Wilson, look, we need you to be a leader. We want you to be a part of this team for the next 5 years. And we also want you to be happy, and we want you to be productive, because, you know, his productivity over 3 years cannot be denied. I mean, it's
especially with the quarterback play that he had to deal with,
yeah,
with most of it.
Yeah. So it's there. And the question is Sauce Gardner going to be rewarded for his first 2 years and looked at differently because of his third year? You know, Garrett Wilson, you know, has ascended each year, as where Sauce, you could say, after 2 years, he descended a little bit or regressed a little bit. But I'm sure that they're going to, now it looks like they're going to end up giving him a contract as well, and they'll keep their two budding superstars around here for the next 6 years. So it's unprecedented because they didn't have to pay him. They had him under contract for the next 2 years, this year, and they picked up the fifth-year option. And then you could also say they could have tagged him.
Yeah.
You could have had, you know, three more years of tagged him twice, for that matter, four more years under those circumstances. But they decided not to do that. Believe it or not, they actually probably saved a little bit money in the long term, you know.
If he wanted to stay here,
well,
I mean, that's the other thing.
As he was still as productive as he had been.
Yeah.
You know, that's the risk that you take when you sign a guy like this to this amount of money, and $90 million guaranteed, when you really didn't have to do it because of the way the rules are set up over the next 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, Garrett Wilson, of course, when you get that type of money thrown at you, when you've had a quarterback situation as bad as he's had, and now he has Justin Fields, who I know he likes and has played with before, but he's not exactly throwing the ball around like you know, some of the best throwers of the football ever, or like someone like Josh Allen is. That's not happening. So for him, he's like, hell, I mean, this has never happened in football. I'm getting an average of $30 million per year. Like, sure, I'm going to take it. But, you know, there was a point with Garrett Wilson, you know, how frustrated he had been the first couple of years of his career, putting up these amazing numbers and looking like a great wide receiver. I was thinking, like, he's probably can't wait to get out of here and go somewhere else. So
that's also probably the impetus to
this. That's exactly what I'm saying, is the fact that that's why I think that this thing particularly happened, because it's like, look, we want you here. We want you to be happy. We can't have a wide receiver who's pissed off, who's supposed to be one of our best, if not our best offensive player this year. So I don't love doing something that's never been done before, because there's a reason why it hasn't been done before. Like, not every GM's an idiot and Darren Mooji's a genius. You know, I mean, it's
not. They also have to spend a certain amount of money. And if you don't have that kind of money invested in your quarterback, you can then start spending it on other players on the team. But this is it's a precedent signing. It's something that teams don't do. And it's much like the Deshaun Watson signing.
Yeah.
You know, it's precedent setting. I'm not saying it will send shockwaves around the league, but what it will do is, like guys like Terry McLaurin, he's waiting for a new deal from Washington. And, you know, he's been a very productive player for them. He's been, much like Garrett Wilson, he shows up and plays pretty much every game. He's their explosive number one wide receiver. They added Deebo Samuel to the mix.
Yeah.
He's going to want a contract. So this will have reverberations around the league for other teams without question. And, you know, you're talking north of $32 million for Terry McLaurin now, and Washington's got to figure it out. You know, they've been sitting on this one. Washington has. I don't know why that deal hasn't been done. That deal should have been done before this, because he's older.
Yeah, this is not a Garrett Wilson situation yet.
Right, and the other good news for Garrett Wilson himself, he'll get another contract.
Yeah.
You know, he'll get it. You know, he should get another contract, assuming health and everything works out well. You know, he's only 24 years old.
Yeah, and so to 2030, this deal runs through, so that's 5 years. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely should get another contract. It's not going to be, you know, the top of the top of the market, but he's definitely going to still be at an age where a team will want to pay him at least a little bit.
Well, he'll be at the age of where Terry McLaurin is right now. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, he shows up. I think he's played in almost every game that he was supposed to play in. So he's a very durable wide receiver that hasn't had hamstrings, hasn't had oblique injuries, hasn't twisted ankles. So, you know, he's been he has been uber productive for who he's played with.
Yeah.
Man, quite frankly, you know, we get on Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers had a decent year last year. And he and Garrett Wilson had over 101 catches, and that's with Davante Adams on the field.
And I also thought, I mean, when you look at the numbers, it doesn't feel like it translates to what you were watching, because it felt like just a lot of frustration and Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson not on the same page a lot of the time. And, you know, I always looked at Garrett Wilson as this super talented guy who just was like a square peg in a round hole with the Jets, and hopefully that changes. But, you know, that giving him the money, if you had to choose between the two guys, it's clear that it's Garrett Wilson. And I do not think that the Jets should do the same thing with Sauce Gardner. And Sauce is a great guy. Love him. He's got, you know, the marketability and all that stuff. You know, last year, whether you want to talk about scheme, I know I heard a couple guys, you know, Willie talking about that when I hosted with him once, and how it wasn't fitting in and it wasn't all his fault. I mean, he had, as compared to his first two previous years, a miserable year for the standard that he set for himself. So off of that year, you cannot do what you just did with Garrett Wilson. I'm sorry.
But now I feel, because they did what they did with Garrett Wilson, and because Sauce Gardner was a two-time all, he's two-time All-Pro, I believe, and they both were rookies of the year.
Yeah, sure, I mean, know.
They're going to have to. They're going to have to. And now I feel like they're going to have to.
No. Why?
Because the agent's going to be in there, and he's going to be chirping, and the last thing
I'll say, like, listen, Garrett Wilson was able to do this, this, and this in a crap situation. And Sauce, I can show you tape where we feel like he fell off. So if he can prove that he can get back to where he was, then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry.
I
understand where you're coming from.
Ruthless, you tell me, Boomer. Ruthless.
Listen, my ruthlessness would have been, hey, I'm not paying either of these guys until I start winning games.
Yeah.
But the one thing about Garrett, I never heard him complain. I never heard him bitch. From all accounts, from everything that I know about the young man, is that he is a 100% true professional that wants to be great. And that's the kind of guy that I can invest in. But I just don't know that they can't pay Sauce Gardner, just simply because then it creates a friction that you're trying to alleviate all that kind of crap. You're trying to get your best players to buy into what you're selling and to let them know that you want them to be a part of this new culture going forward. And if you have a guy that was also Rookie Defensive of the Year, also an All-Pro, that player is going to be expecting his paycheck now that this other player that was drafted the same year by the same team and basically feels as he is productive as the wide receiver, although I think the wide receiver has been more consistent and more productive over 3 years. Sauce Gardner, 2 out of 3 years, was considered one of the better defensive backs in the league.
Yeah, so if I'm Darren Mooji and I'm talking to Sauce's agent and you're giving all these similarities between him and Garrett Wilson, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of similarities. But the big similarity that's not there is the fact that we have seen an upward trajectory for Garrett Wilson, and we didn't necessarily see that on tape with Sauce this past year. So we've got you under contract. We've got you under contract. And if you want to act, you know, like a baby about it, then okay. But this is where we're at. We rewarded Garrett Wilson this way. It doesn't mean we have to reward you as well. I mean, it's just not everybody gets a cookie. You know,
I told you about, I want to say it was like 2 months ago when some of this started hitting the media that these two guys were looking for contract extensions, that I didn't think that they were going to get them. Because I do believe that, you know, the coaching staff and Darren Mooji and some of the new player people over there running the organization needed, they really get a look up close and personal what these players look like on the field. They can kind of tell. But now it's that this happened and it's unprecedented that it happened. I just think it's going to happen again. Now, it may not be as much. It may be somewhere similar, maybe a less of a yearly commitment, maybe a 3 year extension. I'm not sure, but it seems like they're going to have to do something just because if they're trying to build a culture and get these young players to buy into what's going on, the way you do that is by paying the guys that you believe in. And by doing this, that's exactly what the Jets have done with Garrett Wilson. And I would think that they would do the same thing with Sauce Gardner. Now I feel this way. Yeah. I didn't feel this way 3 months ago because it never happened before.
Right, no, of course. I mean, and all those guys, they could talk all they wanted, but it was also, you said, if they did sign, it would maybe have to be at a discount. And like you said, there is a chance that if Sauce continued with this production and even got better, that the Jets would be saving some money at some point. The way that you see these guys getting, you know, one on top of another, right, after another,
by the way,
Justin
Wilson,
Jefferson, Jamar Chase, like on and on and on.
I think Garrett Wilson right now is fifth on
the
list.
Yeah, he is. Yep, fifth.
In essence, even though they're giving him more guaranteed money and they're extending him, I feel like it's less money than they would have had to pay him had he had another year where he was over 1,000 yards and over 100 catches and maybe a few more touchdowns. And really, it's going to be up to Tanner Engstrom to get him the ball in the red zone.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting.
Who was there, if you didn't know, their new offensive coordinator for the Jets, who came over from the Lions staff and worked with Ben Johnson and the whole thing, and comes with a really good reputation, but someone who has not done the job yet, but certainly was a part of a big turnaround offensively for the Detroit Lions. So, I mean, I like it in some regards, and I also think that Garrett Wilson was probably completely thrilled with, because it's impossible for me to put myself in his shoes, but I can imagine what he was thinking when he was talking to his other friends and peers in the league, going, God, if I only had an effing quarterback.
Well, he did last year. I mean, like, the fact that he had the numbers that he had last year.
But still, it felt like there was still untapped potential there. Like, once Devontae Adams came, it was almost like, you know, Garrett Wilson was the second wide receiver in Aaron Rodgers' eyes. I never felt like they clicked. They had that whole thing in the preseason, and they were always seemed to be just on different pages. You know, so
but
yeah,
he still had a very productive year.
I know that's why I think he's being one of the main reasons why he's being rewarded. But he's probably thinking, God, like, I in this horrible situation, I'm going to get screwed, and now I got Justin Fields, another guy who doesn't light it up through the air. I mean, I could really get screwed here. And when they came to him with this extension, I'm sure that he was doing backflips, going, this is perfect.
Well, yeah, now I'll stay here. You basically bought my love, if you will.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stay here, and we're going to build a culture under Aaron Glenn. And, you know, Aaron now will probably use him and utilize him as obviously one of the team leaders and one of the guys that, you know, obviously this money puts out there in front of the rest of the team, that if you go about your business the way that Garrett Wilson's going to go about his business, the team is going to reward you for that. And hopefully that makes Aaron Glenn's job a little bit easier.
Yeah, I mean, in most of the stuff that has come out of there, I mean, I just can't be fooled again with this stuff. I mean, but I'm not going to not give them credit for certain things if I'm agreeing with it. But I do like the fact that, you know, they really know what they want to do and seem to be executing it, and also are trying to find players that are buying in. And it's not all about grabbing headlines. It's all of those things we've criticized the Jets for. Guys, since the Aaron Rodgers decision, have been quiet on social media, haven't heard anything. So, I mean, I really like what they're doing there. I don't want to show up to camp again this year and do the same thing. It feels different around here. I mean, I can't do that anymore.
I can't, because it's
never different.
I know that, and the history says, you know, it's been different a couple times. It was different under Parcells, and it was different under Rex Ryan.
But I was not at camp during those times.
Yeah,
and I know you were, but I mean,
there was real belief that the team could win. Now, you know, look, they want quarterback hunting back in those days too. They want quarterback hunting with me. They want quarterback hunting with Vinny Testaverde. They want quarterback hunting with Brett Favre. They want quarterback hunting with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
So this has gone on for years around here, and now they're quarterback hunting with Justin Fields. And they wanted a young, athletic quarterback. They got one. His accuracy is, you know, is his number one problem. And, you know, if he's throwing the ball behind these guys, those guys will not be happy. But I do think there is something to be said about him and Justin, Garrett Wilson and Justin Fields being teammates at Ohio State and having extremely productive seasons there.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan. CBS Sports Network joins us in just over an hour. Jerry Recco is here right now, and not a ton happening yesterday in sports, but everything that did happen, you're going to hear about it right now from Jerry's mouth to your ears. Good morning, Jerry.
Brought to you by Flag and Anthem, real close for real life. You're not a lot.
Yeah.
Not a lot. Yes, exactly.
Good talking to you, Jerry.
Well, I do have a couple things that I think you will enjoy.
All
I could
right.
be wrong, but I have a couple of things and some things I'm working through right now for next hour. You guys have detailed the Garrett Wilson 4-year extension. Good for him. The $130 million, $90 million guaranteed. Now, when you talk Jets, sometimes things get heated on this radio station, as we know.
Ooh.
And there was Chris McMonagle worked last night, so he did not work overnight. Instead, your guy, Anthony Gallo, did the overnight. And
yeah.
He and a caller got into it a little bit. A caller, I guess, was kind of questioning, you know, the Jets developing players. And as Gallo's talking, you know, we're talking about one that they have, actually. And he really raised his voice a little bit.
Garrett Wilson was drafted by them.
Getting very, very angry.
Wow.
And then really had just had enough of the guy.
Mike, shut up, Mike. Please, shut up.
Wow.
Good for Anthony.
Look at Gallo. I didn't know he had it in him.
Garrett Wilson was drafted by them.
That's a passionate man right there about his football.
That is almost BT level.
Yeah, he's getting there. I mean, I think that's his idol, actually. I think that Gallo has told me that he tries to mold himself in the shape of BT. So he's starting to sound like him.
So. Maybe so. I know, was it C-Mac? Because you've got all these things going on in the overnight. He was losing his mind the other night when people were complaining about George Steinbrenner rolling in his grave.
Oh, God.
Where are you, George? We miss you, George. Your son's nothing like you, George.
I can't take it anymore with these Yankees.
He's making all sorts of noises. So he was having a good time.
This is what happens to people on the overnight. I mean, it's just a slow decline in mental stability.
So all of that was C-Mac the day before Gallo lost his mind. You have ESPN reporting that Niners wide receiver Juwan Jennings scheduled to make $7.5 million this year, final year of his deal. he wants a new contract or a trade. I'm sure if he saw the deal yesterday,
this is what happens. So guys like Garrett, good for him. He gets a deal. And normally what happens, guys around him, around his, you know, his age, his contract status. Now, the contract status is unprecedented because of when they gave it to him. So now guys are out there going, hey, wait a minute, he's getting his contract, I want mine. You might as well add Terry McLaurin to that list as well.
All true. Ooh, maybe he'll hold out. We shall
see. Well, I think they're going to end up getting it. It sounds like they're going to end up getting a deal with him. It's just that he is, I believe he's 29 years old. As opposed to Garrett, who is 24 years old.
All true. Seattle's Cal Raleigh did win the home run derby last night in Atlanta. Pat McAfee was hired to do the introductions. I don't know if you, I'm sure you didn't see
it. I saw the introductions.
It was kind of neat when they raised the players.
I liked it.
It was kind of cool.
I didn't know, like, when he came out, I was like, all right, here we go.
I had the same thought.
And then as they started going on and they did their whole WWE announcing thing with all the guys and putting the guys up on the stage and they had their walk-up music come up there and then they had smoke and everything going on behind them or the steam, whatever.
Pretty good production.
I actually thought that was fun.
Yes. Think we're getting
from Colleen, North Carolina, a man who's doing something that no catcher has ever done in the history of the sport with the fattest ass in all of professional sports.
And that was Cal Raleigh.
Yeah. Do you think we're getting to an oversaturation spot here with McAfee showing up everywhere?
So that, I think Boomer probably had the same thought I did. I'm like, oh my God, McAfee again. But he was good.
In this situation, and I also think he's good on the college football show.
Oh, but yeah.
He's a great ad
But
there.
I think you're right. I think we're getting close to that.
Yeah, but ESPN is trying to, you know, utilize him and justify the money that they're paying him. And, like, last night was the perfect spot for him.
It was. And he had
it. It seemed like it, but then all of a sudden it was.
My first thought is, why do they have a football guy doing? Then he did almost call the pie when he did O'Neal Cruz. He should not play it later. He almost said the Steelers.
Which is funny. And obviously he's got the Yinzer accent, the whole thing going on.
And so it was pretty cool. Raleigh did win, as we pointed out, as he beat Junior Caminero of the Rays 18-15 in the final round. And for those that don't think it means much, he was quite excited to get this done. This was on ESPN.
It means the world, you know. I could hit zero home runs, and I would have had just as much fun. So I just can't believe it won. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
I mean, of all the years that Pete Alonso did not participate, this is like the year he should have.
Yeah.
With the way that they did the whole thing.
Fair enough. Well, you all see O'Neal Cruz 513-foot home run, which I know it's a home run derby, but that was something to see. Rob Manfred did speak, and I'll have some other things. I got to go find them, but I know all the players spoke yesterday. We do have some Rob Manfred in there. So he was on with McAfee. So they're going to do this ABS system tonight, which we know about. He was talking about why exactly they're doing it. And it's actually refreshing to hear that he hears all the complaints.
This year, the emails about bad balls and strike calls have gone like this, up crazy, because they've now seen you can do it better. And the sort of theme of the emails is, what the hell are you waiting for? You got it. We're going to use it tonight. It's been used in the minor leagues for several years, and we tested it with big league guys in spring training last year.
And so tonight we will see it. And I think it's goofy, personally, with the whole tap of the helmet. To me, you got the box, you got the technology. Just call the damn strike or a ball, but whatever. At least there is some progress there.
So let me just get this right, because I'm not necessarily paying attention to the ABS system. Yes. And there's a lot of lingo here, I'm sure, that maybe we'd lost on the listener. So the balls and strikes are not going to be called every single time by the technology. But they can check with the tap of the helmet.
And then they put it on, like in tennis, with a ball out or in with the line.
Right.
They'll put it on the big screen and show you if the ball was a strike.
Is there a limit to that?
The French Open, they had problems with that.
Oh, did they really?
Technology, yes.
How do you have problems with that?
I don't know, but they did have problems with that, and the players had problems with the problems.
Because the first one was, Cyclops, right, where it would buzz. Right, or beep at these events. Now they actually have the video board where they show it to you, like, on the spot. And I don't know the answer to that. If it's unlimited, I mean, can you challenge every ball strike? I have no idea.
Well, Fleek said it's 3 per team a game in the minors. So I don't know if they're applying that same thing to tonight in the All-Star game. But, hey, progress, like you said.
I suppose.
What I want to see is managers and umpires going at it and guys getting thrown out. That's part of the allure and the history and the tradition of the game.
There'll still be calls like that they'll get pissed at, but it won't be balls and strikes anymore, at least not in the future.
No, because really, if you think about it, the only thing they really do argue now are balls and strikes.
Yeah, I mean,
everything else is taken care of. Yeah, and he was right.
And he was right, and he ended up getting thrown out when they should have thrown the umpire out.
Wouldn't it be nice once to see the manager like do that right?
You get out of here.
You're the one that's terrible. If you had any dreams of the Mets acquiring Byron Buxton, you can say no to those. He talked yesterday. I'm going to try and find the audio if I can, but said plans on finishing his career in Minnesota. Now, a lot of guys can say that. He can because he got a no-trade clause. So it doesn't look like he wants to go anywhere. Rays owner Stu Sternberg has agreed to sell the team $1.7 billion to a group led by a Florida-based developer. I looked into this guy.
Jacksonville, yeah.
Looks like he's a home builder. I don't know.
He is.
Like Bob Vila?
Not like that, but he has a big home building company. And, you know, they still have to get a stadium approved. That's the big deal.
And he said he wants, from what I read, they want the stadium in Tampa, not St. Pete, right, not a surrounding town. They want it in Tampa. So we'll see if that is the case. Now, these final pieces of audio that I have for you, we will sprinkle throughout the course of the morning. Of course, Funhouse did post this, so I'm going to give you a little taste. And then as we go through, I will kind of add.
Taste. Oh, I love a taste.
What would you say are one of the bigger movies that's out there right now?
Superman?
Superman. Jurassic Park is another one.
That's right.
28 F1? Years later, I think.
F1
is another F1. One.
That was the one I was trying to say.
Brad Pitt, yeah.
Sure. Well, this one is Superman, you are right. And the movie critic himself has gone to watch it. That's Mike Francesa.
Okay.
I remember back in the day when him and Chris used to do the movie reviews. Mike's opening comments on his podcast about the movie.
This stunk. As for someone who's a old-time TV show Superman guy trying to get entertained for a couple hours and wants to see Superman, this movie was pure torture to sit through. Torture.
He said
torture.
It was so bad.
If my name was on the credits, I'd hide it. That's how bad it was.
Are the reviews from everybody else that bad?
I don't know, but actually had a... I thought it had a pretty... nice box office opening.
I'm sure it did. And just the same reason he went there. But the problem is when he watched the film, he didn't get what he wanted. Instead, he got this.
This was 2 hours of this new Superman. It was a decent. He wasn't Christopher Reeve, but he was okay Superman. 2 hours of him getting the crap beat out of him. Who wants to see Superman get beat up for 2 hours? He's getting beat up by everybody.
Sounds like a Jets game. Used to seeing it. By the way, it actually is done well. So it's 83% for critics on Rotten Tomatoes and 93% from the audience on Rotten Tomatoes. That like it, yeah. Yeah.
The one, now, I haven't seen it. And like I said,
If I go to see this, and Superman's getting his ass kicked, I'm not going to be happy about it.
Right. So I'll get you there. I got to edit.
I'm with Mike on that.
I'll get you more next hour. I know there's a few more and better clips, but I have to edit them. But I agree. I don't like the movies where the hero is getting the tar kicked out of him, and then all of a sudden he finds his way at the end. That seems stupid.
That's usually the arc.
Is it though?
Yeah. I mean, there's 17 or 18 different kind of storylines that you can go through, and there's a couple arcs. There's the revenge, aspect of it all, and
but at least
the guy that picks himself up and ends up kicking everybody's ass at the end of the show, that kind of thing.
Did Luke Skywalker get his ass kicked for 2 hours? No.
We're also taking. Well, I mean, Eddie is looking at me like, yes, he did.
He did? How?
He got his hand cut off by his father, and then he dropped away into the and had to go hide and recover.
He got his hand cut off? Luke Skywalker?
Yeah.
By the lightsaber?
I think I missed that part.
That was Empire Strikes Back.
I'm talking about the first Star Wars. Empire Strikes Back was the second one. Return of the Jedi was third. I remember the first one. There wasn't Skywalker and...
Han Solo.
Yeah, they didn't get their ass kicked. That wasn't what that movie was. I don't remember Empire Strikes Back. Well, got his hand cut off, huh? Well, that sucks.
The only good part of this movie... And Superman is getting his butt kicked, and he needs some strength, so he grabbed the Junkless Ball. which is a delicious granola ball. And he eats the Junkless ball. And then all of a sudden he starts, you know, it's like his anti-kryptonite. So he's got the kryptonite, which is bad for him, and the Junkless ball, which is good for him. Just delicious stuff. I mean, really. And Superman doesn't like to try new things, okay? He doesn't like to try new Superman. You know, he does what he does. He's Clark Kent, you know, Lois. He's the, you know, he doesn't stray. But he tried the Junkless ball and it was delicious. Made him more super. We're back.
And lastly, for you, Boomer, the Rangers will open at home. I guess this was predictable. October 7th against the Penguins. They're going to be part of an opening day triple header. How about that?
Nice, yes.
Panthers, Blackhawks. Then the Rangers and Penguins would be the middle game. Avalanche and Kings at night. And I guess today, I think at 1 o'clock today, the entire NHL schedule will be. I know you're going to be. You can't wait for this.
Oh, I'm locked.
Not you. I mean, he's got the alarms on his phone for 1 o'clock to see where the Islanders are going to open this year. But yes, that'll be released later this afternoon.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan, and we'll be joined by CBS Sports Network at 7:30, 45. Minutes from now, once this soccer match decides to conclude, we will be on the air at CBS Sports Network. You want to join us? 888-808-1019. So we just heard from Mike Francesa in the clip that Jerry played about how he hated the Superman movie and how Superman got his butt kicked for 2 hours and it was torture. And if he was a part of the movie and the credits were rolling, he would take the his name off of the credits. That's how much he hated it. Rotten Tomatoes, which is a place to go. It sort of aggregates people's opinions on these things. The critics have it 83% and the audience 93%. And as soon as we played this clip, Superman calls ended up on the board here. So let's take some Superman calls. Let's go to Pat, who's calling from Long Island. What's going on, Pat?
How you doing, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
Superman, the whole movie.
He got his butt kicked the whole movie?
The whole movie. It starts with him bleeding and it just doesn't stop. He's constantly getting picked up off the floor. It's just not Superman. He's human. He gets beat up the whole time.
I mean, is there, but like, so he gets like, beat up so
what's
much.
What's the story behind it? Like, is it like a woke type of thing? What is it?
They just humanized him. He literally just doesn't. He never arcs his power at any point in the movie. He's constantly just getting picked up off the floor and getting helped by other people.
Huh.
It was pretty bad.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's one in the Mike Francesa column. Just getting his butt whipped. I don't want to see Superman get his ass kicked for 2 hours.
I go to see Superman to be Superman.
Yeah.
Now I'm not going to go see it now.
Yeah, I mean.
Not that I had any desire to go see it in the first place, but if I did, it was one of those rainy day things where you go to the movies.
Yeah. I mean, I love going to a movie theater from time to time, especially in the summertime. Get like one of those hot, humid days. It's not all that nice out. Maybe some thunderstorms. Get inside that AC. Get yourself a little popcorn and a soft drink, you know?
Yeah.
Sit there. Maybe some Sour Patch Kids if you're really getting frisky.
Milk Duds.
Yeah, Milk Duds. Yeah. You know, I see people put the Milk Duds in the popcorn. You ever see that?
I've never seen that.
Yeah. What's that little trick that people do when they go on dates? They poke a hole in the bottom of the popcorn thing and stick their penis in there. You know that whole trick that they do?
Yeah, no, I've never heard of that one either.
I think Fleegs has heard of that. It's like a thing like you do on a date. You get a big thing of popcorn, right? You cut a hole in the middle of it, and if you like, you know, you with the date, you know, they reach into the popcorn.
Is this on your first date?
No. I think like a little bit.
With your wife or something like that?
It's a really aggressive move for the first date.
Yeah, not for the first date. It's like, it's sort of like.
Let me ask you a question. Like, are you excited when you're doing this?
I mean, I've never done it. I think that.
Like mush in there.
No. I think the point would be that you're excited. You know, it's like you read, oh, okay.
Hey,
now we got something going on.
And if you aren't, then when she finally reaches down, then you are.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's...
I swear to God, I've never heard of that until just now. I mean, I have never, ever heard of that.
Have you heard of that, Fleeks?
I have heard of it.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay, so I'm not just making this up.
Okay, yeah. All right. I've never heard of it, so...
I mean, but the problem with that is, like, you know, the popcorn, I guess, isn't that expensive, but once your penis is in the popcorn, you can't eat the popcorn anymore. You've just wasted that entire tub of popcorn.
Especially so you got to have, like... the bathroom before you put it in there.
I mean, I think you got to, like... eat like half the popcorn and then pop the hole and and do the thing at that point. That's what I think.
Well, you do it when she gets up to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. And then she comes in, she reaches for some more popcorn, and all of a sudden, whoa, look at this.
Okay.
Is this the Eric and Ronkonkoma, my buddy? What's up, Eric? Good morning.
Yes, it is, and I can't believe I got to follow that part of the popcorn thing. But
you've done it. I know you've done it.
No, absolutely not. No, there is no way, and you know what?
Hey, Eric, had you ever heard that before?
I have not heard that before, yeah, okay. And I would never have even thought of that doing that.
But, yes.
But I mean, I was going to say my kids put the M&Ms in the popcorn, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's another good move. You know. That's enough. Milk Duds, M&M's. I mean, that's now we're cooking
again. I've not seen the Milk Duds, no. But let me tell you something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I said something to Gallo because I'm going to get into it with C-Mac tomorrow, most likely, or Thursday. But let me tell you something, okay? When you played the Mike Francesa clip, here's the issue I have because I've seen it twice already. I loved it, okay? You got to know what you're going in to see, all right? I mean, if you're going in there, first of all, there's been – and now, look, I granted – you know, you guys are way beyond me when it comes to the sports. I'm way beyond you guys when it comes to this stuff. People will tell you, right?
Yeah, I know. He's obsessed with superheroes.
Yes, there's been like 8 different iterations of Superman, you know, even over the last 30 years, all right? But he's not getting his butt kicked throughout the whole movie. I'm sorry, that does not happen, all right? There's plenty of feats of strength and other things that show you he's Superman. There's also, if you go to see it, right, and Jerry said, I believe Jerry said he saw it. I know Fleeks did. Okay, there's an explanation as to what goes on during the movie. You'll know at the end why. All right, so to say, and I'm not going to give anything away, trust me, but to say that you know, that anyone who sees this movie, you know, should take the names off the credits, then don't go see it. You know, I mean, that's the thing. It drives me nuts. It's like
I can tell. I've never heard you this fired up, Aaron. Eric, I've heard probably 10 billion of your phone calls. I've never heard you this fired up about anything. This really pisses you off.
Well, look, granted, I get as mad about the sports as I do with these things sometimes, too. But look, like I said, know what you're going in to see. All right? If you're just a casual fan, like most everyone are, going to see the movie, right, then you can't say it's the most awful thing that you've ever seen. I mean, look, I plan on going to see the Beatles movies when they come out. There's one on each character. I know virtually nothing about them. I'm not into the Beatles. I'm curious. But I'm not going to come out of there saying it's the worst thing I've ever seen and they should all go to, you know what, you know, because of how bad the movie is. If I don't like it, I may not like it, but I'm not going to drag it through the dirt. That's my opinion of it, but that's not how it is.
All right, Eric, listen, man, take a deep breath. Get back to your day. You're a happy guy. You know, I know this got you all rattled, but I need you back to being the even keel.
Oh, I said my piece. I'm good.
All right, good. All right. See you, Eric. So, I mean, my little boy.
Man, I'll tell you, the Superman passion is unbelievable.
This is insane. I mean, he loves his superhero movies and his Marvel movies and all that stuff. He'll call up and talk about it, but, I mean, that is as fired up as I've ever heard that guy.
I mean, look.
But what are you supposed to know what you're going in to see? Like, what does he really mean by that? Like, I'm going in to see a Superman movie, right?
And I expect Superman to be kicking some ass, taking some names, and saving the world.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I would expect. But, again, I'm not totally into it as much as Eric is. It seemed like Mike, you know, give him credit. He gave you his honest opinion of what he thought.
Yeah.
That's all.
Right, of course. And he was expecting one thing, and Eric and Ronkonkoma was expecting another, and I think that's why expectations are the thief of joy. Greg and Rahway, what's going on, Greg?
Hey, morning, fellas. Long time not talk to you. But that thing with the popcorn?
Yeah.
That was a movie back in the early 80s called Diner.
Oh, okay.
Mickey Rourke was in it, and he had a bet with a bunch of guys where he hung out in a diner that he'd go out with this beautiful blonde, and he got his penis to go up into the freaking popcorn, and she grabbed it, and she ran out of the place, and he had to explain to her that he got so excited, just broke right through the bottom. It was one of my favorite movies, but there's a movie you should watch. I always loved it.
You know what?
I've seen it.
Greg,
now
you know?
Yes.
All right, see, I never knew that. I just...
I totally forgot about that. Oh, man.
So there you go. I guess I guess it started with that, or maybe, you know, it was something that people were doing, and then they ripped that off and put it in a movie. I'm not sure. But that's where it became mainstream back in the early 80s.
Wow.
When he goes, he put his penis through the freaking popcorn.
Perfect.
Eddie, had you heard of that prior to this morning?
No.
You hadn't either.
No.
I thought that you would totally be all over that. I mean, Fleegs knew it. How come the young guys know? This is an early 80s movie with Mickey Rourke, and we knew this. And you guys didn't.
I have never seen that movie.
It must not. Neither I've never seen the movie. It must not have caught on right away. Like, it then finally, like, became a thing. People started doing it. No internet back then, word of mouth. So it finally became a thing late 80s, early 90s when you and I were around.
I feel like I heard about it through comedy, like sketch comedy and stuff like that, where people would reference it, like whether it was SNL or Kids in the Hall or stuff like that.
And at that point, those people had probably been influenced by what they saw in this movie in the early 80s.
Here's the other thing. Here's that. You remember the whole SNL thing, my thing in a box?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
yeah. That was the impetus of it.
Really? Man, they look inserts little Mickey into a bottom of a popcorn. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
The 80s movie that inspired SNL's
Bleep in a Box.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Look at that. I'm really happy that there is an explanation for this, because if there was not, and I just thought that people did this, and this was somehow a fabrication in my mind, that would have been very awkward for me. If I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about, penis popcorn. But at least I know that there is, it's true, it's happened, and it's been proven. Now I got to go watch the scene. You don't actually see the do you see it in the scene?
No.
Okay.
That actually, the podcast, The Lonely Island of Seth Meyers, do a podcast where they go back and talk about the digital shorts.
Yeah.
The episode on that short from a few months ago was the first time I ever heard of this movie, Diner.
Oh, okay. All right, there you go. Look at that.
Heidi Klum actually says she went on a movie date once where a guy pulled that creepy stunt. Did that to Heidi
was
Klum.
It Seal? Is that how Seal was able to get Heidi Klum?